And good day, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to the SSR 2 plenary, number 126, on the 29th of October, 2020 at 1400 UTC. Members attending the call today include Jabera, Elaine, Denise, Kaveh, Carrie Ann, Ramakrishna, Lauren, Russ, and Denko, Observer Dennis Tan, apologies from Boban. Attending from ICANN.org, we have Jennifer, Steve, Brenda, and technical writer Heather. Today's call is being recorded. Please state your name before speaking for the record. And Russ, I'll turn the meeting over to you. Thank you.
Hello. So the first thing on the agenda is to talk about the time of the meeting. Europe has already changed from daylight savings time to standard time. And this weekend, the U.S. will join them. Last year, when that happened, we shifted the call so that it remained at the same hour that it was before the shift. That would be 10 o'clock Eastern for me. And the leadership on the call Monday suggested that we do the same here. That is, we do the same this year as we did last year. Does anyone have any concerns with keeping it at the time before the shift in your local time zone? Okay, I'm not hearing anyone object. So Brenda, we'll ask you to send out corrected or updated time-adjusted invites, because the UTC time obviously will change, just so that we can keep it the same as it was. Okay, today we have two big report outs. Well, one big, one small, in terms of pages. The abuse sub-team sent text yesterday. I know I have been spending time with it. I got through a little over half of it. I hope other people had time to go through it as well. And then a couple days ago, Naveed sent updated text based on his action item from the last call. I hope people have taken a look at it. My reading of it is he just did his homework. So I'd like to turn it over. I'm not sure who's speaking. Is it going to be Lauren or Denise to go through the abuse readout?
Okay. As Denise is not saying anything, I guess it will be me. It makes sense insofar that I was the last one to touch the text. We resolved some kind of last minute issues on Tuesday night. So this is an important disclaimer where this pertains to the last recommendation on EPDP and policy. So this was the last change we made. So there might be more discussion there. Just, you know, upfront, this is clearly where even the sub team needs to look at more. First of all, the structure of the abuse section has changed considerably. What we have done, what just seemed the most functional, was to split it up in kind of generalized findings, right? Like overall findings. It's called, if you look at the a report document on Google, and then follow this up with the recommendations, and then essentially kind of go through one by one what it's about, and not just provide the recommendations, but also provide a finding summary, as well as a statement of the status quo, what we expect from the recommendation, and when we would like to see it completed. This is to essentially match our goal of providing SMART criteria. I will put a pin in this because this is the second one where input from the whole team will be particularly important and necessary. We just have to kind of discuss and think about, okay, by when can this be realistically completed, right? Without kind of giving too much time to a process that doesn't need that much time, but also kind of putting in some buffer, making it a realistic timeline. So that is all under the recommendations, which is kind of the second big section. I think now I can talk about it more generally. Brenda, I'm not sure if you will be able to kind of follow this with scrolling. So I will try to call out the section numbers. So overall findings related to DNS abuse. We're essentially talking about a variety of issues. Everyone who has been on this team for a while, and that is all of us, know what this one is about, what we're talking about, right? It's about cybercrime. It's how certain safeguards that should have been there in the new GTLD program have not really been achieved. At least they're not effective. And essentially issues around SSR that have been identified beforehand, right? For example, by the CCT review. And then we go into the data problem. This is one of the focus areas, right? So we're talking a lot about DAR and how DAR, from our perspective, lacks certain data points, fails to publish information that might be relevant, and so on. More on this in the recommendations. We then want to add a summary of the recommendations to kind of give an overview, if you want, of what we want. We haven't done that yet because we still need to kind of discuss these as a team and find consensus on the text and what we're doing. We also have a section on RDAP. We're not really talking much about it in the recommendations. We're just saying, well, implement the ASSEC guidelines, right? It is more about us saying, yes, this is a relevant discussion for SSR, but it is already being looked at by a lot of places. So we kind of said, okay, there is not that much point in us giving additional detailed recommendations. Okay, so because I'm already talking for 8 minutes. Denise and I think Carrie Ann is also on the call. Please jump in if I miss or forget something. You're also welcome to kind of add your own point of view here as well, obviously. So section two recommendations. This is where a lot of changes have happened. So we're starting with the abuse definitions. We have a finding summary, right, where we're essentially saying, a lot can be done without these abuse definitions, but it would be a nice one to have, right? So that discussions and whatever else kind of refers to the same stuff. People have the same idea of what things are. That's always helpful. We're starting, however, with asking IconOrg to post a website of their working definitions because there are some. Right. So, for example, in DAR, there is a variety of things. Then the CCT review, for example, had some definitions. So we believe it would be worthwhile just to have them in one spot so that even, without them being final definitions, there is a way to see, okay, this is what people are talking about. We're then calling for a staff-supported cross-community working group to essentially establish and evolve these definitions. And then we're obviously saying, the board and the organization should kind of make sure that these definitions are then consistently used, right? Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. IconOrg actions. So here we have made significant changes to what you will have seen before. I can see someone is fixing a typo. Here we changed to, instead of saying use SLAs, we have defined an SLA. The reason for that is that it's actually, you know, we were actually thinking about, okay, what can we recommend, kind of what works. So here we kind of went to actually proposing something very specific. As you can see, there are a lot of percentages, and I have not, when I edited this, added the question marks everywhere. So this is a key one where it's essentially about something we've discussed before, right? If your portfolio has more than a certain percentage of domains that are seen as malicious, security threats, whatever lingo you want to do, you first get a warning, right? And if it's too bad, compliance should kind of open an investigation and take action. So I have question marks when it comes to the days. Imagine the question marks to be there as well for the percentages. Those were essentially pulled from us looking at some of the most abused contracted parties. And as we state in the text, for now, we have chosen them to be quite high, meaning that this addresses the issue, right? That A, such systems can be gamed, and to also avoid, right, that minor fluctuations or other issues would lead to people kind of being accused of something, and then compliance action starts. And furthermore, we ask for like sanity checks by compliance, right? So make sure it's not being gamed before you start hounding people. And we also clearly state that the contracted party should have an opportunity to essentially refute these claims. So for example, if you have a very small registrar and the other registrar really hates you and they game the system or whatever, right? This might go up really quickly because your portfolio is small. So we try to put safeguards in there so that doesn't really impact as much. In terms of the contract negotiations, where I forgot to remove something, we're saying that when it comes to contract negotiations, I can or should include a kind of negotiating team that includes abuse and security experts who are truly external. So someone who really kind of has security, stability, and resiliency in mind and is independent from the ICANN process. That's a key one there. Compliance enforcement. Obviously, right, all of this is pretty useless as long as the compliance team doesn't do anything. And we have seen that a variety of reports and sources point towards compliance not enforcing things they could actually enforce. So we're just saying here, okay, direct the compliance team to monitor and strictly enforce the stuff that relates to SSR, have kind of external audits of this function, which a bit like in the section on risk and internal security, that is something that is done in a lot of places. So it's nothing out of the ordinary. Number five, the numbering is really weird. So we have 1, 4, and 5. We're asking ICANN compliance function to create a public report on what tools they're missing to actually enforce security. So we have had two discussions, I believe, with the compliance team. And we were told, okay, we don't have the tools to really do this. So it would be good for them to say what the tools are that they would need in the future to do this. Oh, wow. Okay. Let me get a bit of water. DNS abuse portal. Okay. So here we identify the issue that reporting abuse can be pretty complicated for the one reporting it, and this goes for other complaints as well. So here we more generally speak to complaints. And what we're saying here is what would be really useful, and we have discussed this before, right, is to establish some kind of portal where you can make those centrally and they automatically get distributed to the appropriate parties. ICANN should kind of host it, but it's not about them having like all the content, because there's a variety of issues associated with that, but only it should collect some metadata, and that metadata should be shared. So for example, it would allow us, you know, as like the ICANN community and so on, to, for example, see, okay, how many complaints are going in to the system, how many are about X, Y, Z, et cetera. So you have a bit of an overview what is actually going on. And then we're going into data analysis and research. The first recommendation is about DAR, where we're essentially saying, okay, DAR should develop further. It should kind of inform the community, inform policy, inform action. One of the key things is obviously to release information about certain aspects, right? So for example, abuse concentration in certain contracted parties. It should also involve more openly sharing data with researchers, so that essentially there is a bit of a check on the DAR methodology and data, essentially making sure this is verified. This is obviously pretty relevant because we're talking about using SLAs based on ICANN STAR systems. So having a few more eyes on that would be helpful. What's the next one? Oh yes, data access. We're nearly done here. So the findings here involve, right, what we've already said before. This is extremely relevant. We're speaking to two things. That is CCDS on the one hand, right, where there are technical, like operational / technical, I don't know what to best call it right now, barriers where, for example, like kind of renewing your access takes time, and then you kind of have kind of parts, time periods in your data that are missing, stuff like that. So we're saying, yeah, please deal with this. Then it's about, oh God, what did I miss? Oh yeah, then it's obviously about RDAP, where we are essentially just pointing to ESSEC 101. As I said before, we kind of concluded that, you know, adding a lot of recommendations on this would not be helpful because there's enough talk already. This is the new part now. So this is where we're talking about policy. So here in the finding summary, we first recognize that a lot of anti-abuse work can be done by the organization, by the board, without a policy process. However, based on the public comment, right, we're essentially saying, okay, if that doesn't work, right, if that doesn't bring the, you know, if you get stuck, essentially, do create a temporary specification and then create an EPDP to create a policy. And as I've said before, this one is a bit fresh still. Yeah, the sub team would have to kind of look at that one in more detail, as well as the whole team. And if you look at it, I'm already kind of from today, right, proposed to add a clause here. In addition, I will not talk about that because I'm just reporting out. And yes, as I can see in chat, yes, this has been to the SSR2 email list. Everyone is invited to read, to comment. Please always use suggest mode and comments because otherwise it will be difficult to track everything. Okay, after this, lecture. Thank you very much for listening for that long. Happy to
Lauren, there are a couple places where the abuse team or you highlighted a need for discussion. So
yes, that is correct.
I think we should probably at least touch on those places.
So
and I put in one comment on the top of page 3. This setup of recommendations is the highest priority in our report. I've got a problem with that sentence. While I agree that these are high, I have a real problem thinking that the C-suite, DR, CR, all of that is lower. I think they kind of are at the same level. I'd like to know what other people think.
Yeah, so I will just take my hat off. I'm not reporting out anymore. I did reply to this comment. I feel the same. I think they're very high priority, but something like the CSO, CISO position would rank similar. Again, right, because there is a strong relationship as well between this part and that part.
Well, indeed, there are a lot of cross-fertilizations between our recommendations. And that's why I think saying something like this in the middle is problematic. And my recommendation would just be to delete the sentence, but I'd like to hear from others. I'm not seeing any hands, so just speak up, people, if you have a thought.
This is Denise. I'm having some mic problems. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah. I'm comfortable with the sentence, but certainly look forward to others, hearing others' comments on this.
Hi, this is Carrie. I'd probably support Russ just to say that we didn't take the approach in all the other sections to state this, and we had made a decision, I think, earlier on that once we have the report completed, we would then seek. Remember, we had this whole discussion, it was going back and forth as to whether, I think Ram as well was involved, like, should we rank high priority or not? I don't know if this is how we want to start saying it. And I think if we leave it in, it might end up being like a legacy sentence when we probably take a different approach in terms of how we indicate our priorities for the sections or the recommendations. So that's my only objection. It's just that I don't know if this is how we want to actually state that we prioritize recommendations. And I know the team on a whole wanted to look at all of them and decide on that prioritization at the end. I just remember there was a lot to talk about this earlier on. So it's just, do we want to start doing it for this one like this? I agree that it is important though, and one of the higher ranked recommendations when we get to that stage.
Danko?
Thank you. Well, my comment is not on the priority. I would agree that this is a very high importance, especially given the current discussion about the DNS abuse in the community, that is like the most energetic discussion during the last couple of ICANN meetings. But I wanted to ask Lorraine or to make a few comments that I believe can be important in a way how these very good and important recommendations about the abuse could impact the future work and how to make them operational. So I don't know if this is the right moment or because you're starting to go through the specific parts.
Go ahead, and then we'll go down and talk about the parts that are highlighted as needing discussion.
Yeah, because I didn't highlight anything in the document. But anyway, So first, the DAR is a very important project, and I believe highly in DAR and its usability. But currently, the DAR is not the tool that is used by the compliance. It's just the general reporting tool. So maybe the team would like to make it clear that the fundamental role of the DAR has to be changed. And I'm not sure how much that can be accepted by the community. And that leads to the question of the tools for compliance and generally the process, how is that set up? My understanding and the information we as the board get by overseeing the org and the compliance is that compliance is doing their work according to the PDPs that we, the policies that we have, and especially the contracts. And they are not lacking tools to implement what's in the contracts. But the comment that compliance is lacking tools to implement, to do more in the daily abuse is, in my personal opinion, very reasonable. But the question is, what are the needed, the goals and what they have to do? And this goes back to the recommendations by this review team and, of course, back to the policies. But the problem that I see, not a problem, but a challenge of these recommendations that I see, how to implement them is about the contracts and the PDPs. First of all, the board doesn't create policies. So I don't see how the board can create a policy or force it in any specific way. The suggestions for contract negotiations, I'm sure, will be taken very seriously, but the problem is that there are voluntarily contract negotiations. So the org doesn't have a contracting power to put something in the contract that is not accepted by the other side. That's why the PDP process is there. So GNSO for the PDP process can create a policy that is automatically applied through the contracts. So in my opinion, the significant challenge will be what of the recommendations can be implemented in the way that I understand is recommended in this document, and what of those recommendations would have to go through the full PDP process. And my reading is that if the report takes these valid recommendations in the good directions, there is better chance that the community will accept them, create them as policy, and they will be implemented. If the recommendations go directly to something that is the different kind of process in the contracting process, we might have a problem there, because the whole setup is created in that way that the policy cannot be jumped over and avoided. So I don't know how to change that direction easily, but I see this as a challenge. Thank you for listening for this block.
Go ahead, Denise.
Thanks, Danko. It would be helpful to just get a few bullets from you in the email list to make sure that the abuse subgroup addresses all of your points. And there's some members who aren't on the call. And it's 7 a.m. here. I'm not sure I'm going to remember everything you said. And I want to make sure that we have an opportunity to address your points. Compliance indicated that they have and can use abuse reports to help, to assist with their work. So we're following up on that and making sure that they are much more purposeful in using abuse data, particularly abuse data that indicates systemic abuse on DAR. There's a wide difference of opinion in terms of what requires a policy for ICANN org action and what does not. We've seen in discussing this and receiving comments from a wide variety of ICANN groups that the overwhelming majority of declarations that a policy development process is needed to, say, do something like define abuse. Those come from the contracted parties. We've also observed that I think the recent EPDP on access to who is indicative that the PDP process does not seem to yield a timely or useful result when it comes to understanding, acknowledging, and dealing with things that relate to abuse and abuse mitigation. We've also noted many instances in the past where ICANN org has taken action or addressed things in guidance or contracts based on general policies that come out of the GNSO Council. Well, the new GTLD program is an example of that. But the reason I think the abuse subgroup, you know, put language in here that also acknowledges that there may at some point be activity in the abuse area that ICANN board feels requires a policy development process. We've included recommendations on that. Overall, the approach the abuse subteam has taken is that there are a number of activities and tools right now that can be used to a much fuller extent and much more effectively by registrars, registries, and ICANN compliance and ICANN organization. And that should be done. And in addition to that, improvements should be made. And if some of those improvements are deemed by the General Counsel of ICANN to fall within the picket fence and require a PDP, then the board should require that and provide the appropriate oversight structure to the extent it can help ensure that these items are appropriately addressed. The abuse subgroup is, in our research, has found that in the application of abuse definitions in different areas like DAR and other things we've indicated in the report, the policy development process is not required. And we've also suggested in evolving the definition of abuse to keep pace with current and future changes and DNS abuse that a cross-community working group and board leadership is needed. I'll stop there, but I think the abuse subgroup would welcome an opportunity, Danko, to address other questions you have if you'd like to shoot us an email.
Thank you, Darius, so much. Thank you for speaking so detailedly in 7 a.m. in the morning. I understand the challenges of different time zones, as you know. Board is very thankful to to this team for the hard work you're doing, and especially to the DNS abuse subgroup, because this is really current discussion and we really value the input that is coming and that you are bringing. I will try to write a bit of my comments or at least most important points in an email. But I believe that I didn't say anything actually new or different than it was already in the comments that were, well, better structured than my saying. I agree that it always more can be done. And in this way, your recommendations are more than helpful and they will lead the way how we could all do better. And as you said, the contracted parties and of course the compliance and the board really wants to define and move that. But I would just add, without opening any more questions, that In my opinion, the main challenge in the current DNS abuse discussion is not to define what the abuse is, but to understand what can we do about it, what is in the ICANN mission and in ICANN remit, and as you said, in the picket fence, this is now the mission. And this is something that, of course, there are different opinions in different ways. Well, maybe the only really important point is that actually has been already addressed in your recommendations, is that not a lot of things can be done by strong arming contracted parties through contracts, because the negotiations are voluntarily. And if something has to be enforced, probably it will come to PDP. But I, of course, am not the person who will by myself make any decisions on that. And this is something that we had really to look into it. Just my point was how to structure these good recommendations that they will really have the better impact on our SSR mandate. So Denise, once again, thank you very much.
And, yes, thank you. And I really appreciate for the good work that the team has done on the... but I had an observation on... I remember we had discussed about DAL recommendation, but... And Zako was having something on it, and Raurino also mentioned a number of issues from that recommendations, and we removed it out. I'm also wondering why we are now including again on this subgroup. Is there anything new that we did not capture on the previous recommendation that we agreed to remove it, that's now necessary to include on this section? Or any other observation that the team is bringing on board on so that I see. Otherwise, most of the text I see were previous capture, and we agreed to remove the direct recommendation from the previous reports. Maybe I can get a few clarification on the same. Thank you.
So I noted in my read that there was one sub-recommendation that had an underlined new colon in front of it, which is in the DAR section. It's number 2, and it is on page 19. I didn't see any others that were new. Did I miss any, Lauren or Denise?
I do not think so. DAR is really kind of KC's territory. So she's unfortunately unable to join today.
But it would be great if we could get an email on what with that includes what I think was dropped or what should be included if there are specific changes. If you could like share those in an email, I'm sure the abuse subgroup can follow up on that. Thanks.
Yeah, maybe if it's a recommendation from KC, because I think KC was also one of the member who recommended that the DAR report was not necessary to be included as the number of achievement that has been obtained. So maybe we can try to see if she might have noted something that previously was not there. Because I remember the original text of the DAR recommendation, I wrote that from the activities that we assigned the previous before the Marrakesh meeting. And we were also with Zako, and he also had a number of observations about the DAL. And later on, we agreed that I think DAR recommendation was not necessary to be included. So if KC might have observed something new, then it's better the team to highlight and make a previous check and see what did we not captured on the previous recommendation and what new have been added on the recommendation that they're putting. I also had another observation on the heading, especially I see data something and research. I remember we had data analysis and the research. I remember we also had a recommendation on, was it a research something then that we were recommending ICANN to follow up on academic or technical conferences to be included, or some of the issues, especially related to SSR. So the heading might confuse. So if we have something on the previous recommendation, on another separate recommendation, and we have a similar text on another page, we might have a kind of a duplication. So we might need to check the correlation so that we are consistent and remove the duplication. Thank you.
Yes, that has been noted before, and I believe Heather recognizes the gargantuan task she has to identify those for us to resolve. But this report is just getting so large, you just can't keep it all in your head. But that's we did that once, and I think after this restructuring, we will have to do it again. So I fully agree with that. Danko, is that a new hand or an old one?
Sorry, an old one. Well, when I have the microphone, I just wanted to say that I personally support the evolution of DAR, and I believe it's an important project. So don't take my previous comments in DAR as something that I don't see importance of that and the possibility to grow. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. I hadn't taken them that way, but being explicit is good. Okay, I don't see any more hands. So Lauren, can you take us to the first point you want to discuss?
Okay, so as I've said before, the key thing we have to discuss multiple times for sure is, let me just see if I can pull it up myself. As I said before, right, particularly what is at the end of each finding summary is really relevant for everyone to look at, because this applies to the SMART criteria. So this is really about, okay, what do we see as the status quo? What is the problem with it? What do we want the recommendation to achieve? Who has to take action for the recommendations, and by when should it be kind of completed or seriously in works or whatever else? We have 44 minutes left. We have 14 minutes left. So I very much doubt we could go through all of these, because this is once per recommendation. So I guess what we can do is we can kind of talk about one as a template, and then ask people to just do it in the Google Doc. Because there are like quite a few of those. Does that make sense?
There's a couple here where you say we really need to talk about this, you know, like with a comment discuss, like the one on page 14.
Yeah, so essentially I stopped writing discuss every time for these paragraphs. But I meant essentially all of them. So let's look at 14. Page 14, right? So what we're saying here, right? The tension tasks surrounding PLOLA is an obstacle to progress, right? And that iconography, as well as others, right? Maybe you might want to add that, should be playing a stronger role in getting to clarity and transparency, right? And then we're talking about org, right? Transparency to this debate by establishing like a website that documents kind of working definitions, so that we just have an overview of what people think are relevant terms to be defined and talked about. And then essentially the outcome of the recommendation, right, would be that when we take into account number two, that essentially there would be an accepted and community vetted description of the terms and a regular review and update if required of these terms, right? This would enable the community discussions, right? But this would also enable, for example, government actors, right, to define codes of conduct around DNS abuse. So it would be helpful beyond just the GAC as a part of the community, right? This would also mean, right, you could communicate clearly that the interpretation of policies or pertinent agreements documents would be enabled, right? So it requires action from the ICANN board, the organization, right? This is particularly point one, and also from the GNSO. This refers mainly to point two. And then we're saying, okay, this is considered achieved when the documentation is made available and when a kind of a process for updates is established. This relates to ICANN.org, or after community has agreed and definitions created, review mechanisms for those. This would be related to two. The recommendation is attainable, right? You can do this. And we're saying for number one, right now, right? And this is one of the key things we have to talk about. Are these timelines realistic, right? So collating this by June 2021, that should be doable. And then the community process, this CCWG, we're saying in 2022 right now, right? Again, so the question is this a good representation of what we think is the status quo, where we want to go, who has to act, and is the timeline appropriate? And essentially the discussion, right, to just note this again, would be the same for each and every recommendation in this text.
So I think you're asking two questions. One, do we have consensus on these recommendations? And two, are the deadlines reasonable?
More or less. I think calling for consensus, it might be a bit early.
I understand that, but that's where you're going.
Yeah, so essentially, does this make sense? I think is the better term for now. so essentially, right, are we fine with where we want to go, what our objectives are? Right, the next step would obviously be, before we call on consensus, is the actual recommendation text representative of our objectives? Does it need additions, changes, deletions, whatever, to kind of match the outcome we want, right? Or is the recommendation the correct one, right, and the outcome is not described? Well, that might also be the other.
So I'm not seeing any hands. And I'm not hearing anyone trying to speak, so I'm assuming that people are comfortable with the approach taken here. Is having the website created within 6 months and the community process done the following year the right kind of a deadlines? Silence says okay. Since we're down to 10 minutes, I would like to do a couple more of these just to get a feel, but it's very clear that this is going to spill over to next week. So we probably should spend a minute or two after the next one to talk about what kind of cleanup and is going to happen in between. And I don't want to have the document shift too much while people are reviewing it more wholly for next week. Same so, time, fixing the missing letters is not a bad thing.
Yeah, so this is a bit of a document conversion issue. Essentially, I think we would be doing well if everyone commented in the text and made suggestions by next week. So as long as the changes are tracked, right, we can see what people are proposing. What I've been doing so far to keep the document clean is to, when I have kind of change requests, instead of actually kind of suggesting in text that makes it look really messy, at this stage, I just put comment boxes. Maybe that would be an option to kind of keep the document clean, but allow people to propose edits and read other people's proposals without the document becoming a rainbow of colors and strike-throughs again.
Well, I think if things are truly editorial and Heather looks at them and they make sense, she can accept the ones that...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. If we could, of course, give Heather editing rights so she can continue to make the more straightforward corrections and add footnotes, and then allow everyone else to make comments and suggestions, but not change the text. So we have a stable version. I think that would be great. And if we could commit to getting any additional comments or suggestions people have on this text by, say, close of business specific Tuesday, to give the abuse subgroups time to address it before Thursday's call. How does that sound?
That makes sense to me. Okay. Does anyone on the call unable to get this read and comments in by Tuesday? Okay, great. All right, Lauren, we have just enough time to do the paragraph at the bottom of one more, I think.
Will do. So I will also quickly add, I wrote all of those. And I tried to not kind of be argumentative, right? But it is a first step. So I really hope people will read it and comment on it. I'm sure there's stuff in there that isn't great. So with the finding summary for the org actions, right? So number one for the ICANN SLAs, PS, we should probably add finding summary and then what they refer to, because this is right now confusing. So here it's really about, okay, we note that ICANN compliance reported to us that they do not have the tools to act upon contracted parties. There are quotes on this, they're in the text above. Right, we do have research that suggests that some registrars and registries are contributing to this problem in like an exceptional manner, right? They have outsized fractions of their portfolio that various monitoring services, academics, yada, 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 see as kind of malicious security threats, again, whatever wording you want. So we think that what ICANN should try to establish here is a service level agreement that is specifically between them and the contracted parties, which is to kind of keep abuse below a certain percentage as a service level. So this is only between ICANN, right? This, and the contracted parties, that's really important in that case. Right, and we're aware, right, as I've mentioned before, right, block list similar data feeds are not always correct, right? They can be gamed. That's why we're proposing high marks for notification and enforcement. And we're proposing sanity checks on both sides should something happen, right? So if ICANN comes to you and they're wrong and you can demonstrate that they're wrong, then obviously nothing's gonna happen to you. The outcome we wanna see is that ICANN compliance is kind of empowered to deal with the worst offenders, right? So if you go to, like, I don't know, just pick one out, Spam House, look at kind of their most abused registrars, you will see that those have percentages of what they see as malicious domains far above the 10% mark. And that isn't very different when you go anywhere else. And then the outcome is essentially empower compliance to kind of deal with the worst offenders. Reading it again, I think we might want to clarify that this is really what we want here, and we don't want kind of some crazy regime where everyone's afraid. And then we're saying, well, this recommendation, first of all, requires action from ICANN.org, can be achieved when the SLA is entered into all relevant contracts agreements. And obviously this recommendation is attainable, but you can only do it over time. So either when you renew or when, say, a contracted party would be like, okay, we're happy to do this from now on. So that's the text. As I note myself while I read through this, I would myself kind of make some additions and changes to what I've written myself. But I think the best way to do this, considering we're nearly on top of the hour, is for everyone to go in and have some fun with it. Write your comments and tell me where I wrote stuff that doesn't make sense.
Okay, I agree. Everybody tell Lauren where he wrote stuff that doesn't make sense. No, seriously, please go through, put your comments, high-level comments like the ones Denko made should probably just be put as comments at the top of the document, because they kind of affect the whole thing, or like the DAR comment, which only affects that section where you're saying it, be explicit about expanding the role of the ways that the DAR output is used. So with that, and only 2 minutes left, I guess I want to say, is there any other business that we need to deal with quickly before we break up? All right, then, everyone, thank you very much. Happy reading, and let's see if we can get to a place where we can have a complete draft report by the end of the call next week. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks, everyone.